Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. All right, you can have your seat. Glory be to God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. We want to look at something this morning, but before I start, okay, just to remind us of what we learned recently and to inspire our hearts to do what is necessary. We just learned on walking with God, all right? And we were able to see that our Father wants to be walked with. God wants man to walk with him. All right? So when you have a desire to walk with God, you're not doing something how do I say it now? Let me say it this way. There's no way your desire to walk with God can be as much as God's desire for you to walk with him. Hallelujah. So no matter the desire you have to walk with God, God's desire for you to walk with him is more. Okay? And we can basically summarize walking with God to be fellowshipping with God and serving God. Because a walk with God that does not produce serving the Lord ought to be questioned. A walk with God is a time with God that creates or causes an influence of God on the heart of man, and this influence reflects in the conduct of the man. And of course, there are things to do, practical stuff, okay? It's not left to everybody to decide how he walks with God. No, the Bible teaches us, tells us, shows us how to walk with God. Okay? So that someone will come and say, well, when you eat, remember that thing again, carrot and cucumber, you hear God faster. If you are hearing it for the first time, don't bother. Okay? I just said it by inspiration, the last service. Amen. Or you just begin, no, there are things to do. If you're not ready to pray, you're not ready to walk with God. If you're not ready to study the Bible, if you're not ready to learn the teaching or the doctrine of Christ via regular teaching, you're not ready to walk with God. If you're not ready to flow with the Holy Ghost, to practice the things of the Spirit, to come to realize that God speaks to you because you're his child, and you're ready to recognize and reckon that voice, you're not ready to walk with God. So we say walking with God is not for showmanship. It's not so that you can say, ah, I did walk with God. He told me this, he told me that. It's okay. Whatever he tells you that doesn't produce service, that doesn't make you become responsible for the lives of others, it's not, it's not a walk with God. Amen. All right? So a walk with God produces a God influence amidst men. So be encouraged this morning to understand that you have a responsibility in God to walk with Him. Pray a lot in tongues. These are things that if you're not careful, you would allow the troubles, challenges, or even the legitimate activities in this world to deprive you of this privilege. You're always on the road, you're kind of work, and you have to be here and there. Stay in tongues. Don't gist it away. You're kind of work, you have to be doing this, you have to be doing that. Seize time to talk in tongues. Maybe your kind of work, you are always talking to customers. When it's break time, take a walk away, 30 minutes, and let me just talk in tongues. Glory to God. Okay? Had a long day, you got back, all you want to do is eat and sleep. Stay awake a little bit. 30 minutes, 1 hour. Just pray in tongues. Amen. These are things that we must never forget and always continue to practice. Always seize every opportunity to fellowship with the Father. Amen. Seize it. Your walking with God is not for showmanship. It is a responsibility that you have in Christ. Read the Bible. Be in church regularly, learning the Word of God. Take advantage of your church notes. Not just to write in church and then that's it. I believe nobody like that is here. That you still come with sheet of paper, sheets of paper here and there. This Sunday you tear one, you get to church, I don't have something, please give me one sheet of paper there. Once you are done writing, I mean, how really will you use that? If you have a sheet of paper here and there, you say, okay, bring your church notes for the last 1 month. And then you come with... Hallelujah. Some people even use the pages provided in their Bible. Hallelujah. Okay? So, it's a responsibility and the lives of men depend on it. Therefore, be serious with it. Be serious about it. Okay? Be serious about it. Fellowship with God often. And fellowship with the saints as well. Some of us, you don't relate with saints until you are in church. You don't have sane conversations with people. There's nobody around you. There are no people that you fellowship with. There's nobody that you can say, let's pray together. Please, can you pray with me over this matter? There's nobody that can call you. Pray with me. Okay? These things help us. All right? And so, like we said emphatically, that walking with God is not to be defined or seen in a mysterious fashion. What God has put in you, when you conduct your life after your new nature and the things God has given to you, you are walking with God. Okay? Don't think that when or the fruit of walking with God is to be seen some strange stuff. Okay? You just wake up, God will just say, what do you want to eat? Say, I want to eat bread and egg. What are you going to use to fry the egg? Vegetable oil? No. Use soap. And pour wine in it. There's a dimension I want to show you this morning. For as you eat that egg, there shall be an effulgence of glory from within and cause you to be a mighty utterance has finished. Amen. Okay? Things that will make you useful. You know, you take a bath, you get to your wardrobe, and then you just hear. Oh, no. You instigate it. You start it. You say, Lord, where are you? I say, I'm here with him. Okay. What do I wear? You want to be proud since you have plenty clothes. I mean, people that have one trouser, three shirts, they don't ask the Lord. What to wear is new from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. You say, Lord, what do I wear? And say, you're the one thinking, but the Holy Ghost is talking to you. Don't wear this. What do I wear? Wear. I don't know. I mean, let me leave that. Amen. I expect one day that the Holy Ghost will say, wear lemon shirt on yellow. Then spice it with red and orange. For there shall be light everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Okay? So things that be of eternal value will be the fruit of your walking with God. Not just to feel excited. Yes, as we begin, maybe you just got born again, or you're just getting serious with spiritual things. There are certain things that, I'll get excited about, and it's good. You start with simple things. Simple things. Okay? You start with simple things. In trusting God in life, you start with simple things. And people don't trust God until they want to decide who to marry. Then you see someone who doesn't come to church, who doesn't bother about prayer, begin to fast and pray for 7 days. And Lord, there are 5 brothers before me. Who should I pick? If I were the Lord, I would say, pick one. Which one? One of them. Which one? The one you like. Which one, Lord? I want you to pick for me. Let's face more important things. Hallelujah. Okay? So, trust the Lord with your whole life. It's a slap on your face as a believer in Jesus, a sister, when it comes to that decision. I'm not trying to ridicule getting married and say that you should make a decision carelessly. No. Because the truth is, as a believer in Christ, if you get married to someone who will not allow you to serve God, it will affect you. Yes, it will. I mean, this is supposed to be the closest person to you on earth. So if you get married to someone who inspires you to do other things apart from serving God, you would bear the struggle. But it shouldn't be what now gets you serious with the things of God the most. No. You have not prayed for a soul. You have not prayed for a sinner to be saved. You have not prayed for someone to grow up in the knowledge of Christ. You have not waited on the Lord to know what to do so that this person can get serious with God and grow up in the knowledge of Christ. And of course, when it's time to get married, you begin to do all sorts. And for some too, after that is done, you forget the Lord. When it's time to conceive or haven't conceived again, you begin to pray, see things, receive names from the Lord on what to call the child. Call the child, child. You'll be fine. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it's important that we understand the perspective for which I speak. There are certain people who trivialize vital issues and major on minor stuff. And it's not helping their growth and their walk with God. Someone who is not committed to a local assembly, not serious, comes to church once every 3 months, and you ask them, what do you see the next 5 years? The Lord has been talking to me. You are still in trolley level, but you know the names of your children. Why not take it easy? Okay? Well, I'm talking to someone. Hallelujah. My sermon is completely off this. Praise God. So, walk with God. Amen? And it is not Herculean a task, but God has wired you to do so. Okay? If you only decide, make God's desire your desire to walk with Him, then you will see the fruits in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Now, we want to look at something. If we are able to finish today, fine. If not, we continue in the next service, which I title, Beware of Materialism. Hallelujah. Beware of materialism. I believe you should be familiar with this, and what we know more often, or what we use more often amidst us, even naturally, is to be materialistic. I'm sure you've heard that before. You say someone is materialistic. What does that mean? You're saying this person always loves to, one, gain for himself. That's the basis of it. That's the basis of it all. Or, in some instances, this person loves material things. So naturally speaking, when you say someone is materialistic, well, don't you say naturally speaking? When someone is materialistic, such a one would rather all the time seeks material gain. Are you there? Okay. So, if we are looking at the subject, beware of materialism, we just want to understand what materialism is and what material prosperity is from Bible perspective, okay? And how exactly are we to beware? Does that make sense? Now, The Bible has strong warning on materialism. Okay? So the reason I'm going in these two directions is so that by the time we are done looking at Bible warnings and teaching the subject as we should, it will not be seen in anybody's mind or heart that the Bible is against material prosperity. All right? So we can begin this way, that to beware of materialism is not to be against prosperity. Okay? We have a teaching, God wants you to prosper, and if you probably get that on the website, it will bless you. But we'll try and say the things that are necessary to say. So, materialism is really something that we need to be careful about. We need to know what it is and how it suffices, or how a man could possibly find himself in it without knowing. Okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll just read from verse 1. Going all the way to 10. Let's just read from verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So, the doctrine of Christ, the name of Christ, or the doctrine of God and the name of God, is not against believers working, and not just working, being in obedience or submission to their bosses. That's master-servant relationship. The one who has employed you, that you work for, Bible says they are worthy of submission. So as a believer in Christ, the thing to do to your masters is to obey, submit to their authority, regard them, respect them. In doing so, you'll be conducting yourself as God wants you to. And they that have believing masters, so, verse 1, as long as he's your boss, whether he's a temple of idols, are you there? Do what is necessary. So, those who now have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. The boss is a believer, given to ministry, and then you sneak out of work. Go and do follow up. And you come back and say, where have you been? They say, I had to be about the Father's business. If I were your boss, I would say, lovely! Wow! So, henceforth, you will be more about your Father's business. And I dash you a letter, don't let's say sack, a letter to go and be about the Father's business. Amen. So, don't despise them because they are brethren. And say, query, boss, walk in love now. Boss, do the word. Be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. No, don't despise them, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Don't forget, this is a letter from Paul to Timothy, who is a pastor over saints at Ephesus. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. That is sharp, right? So, you have instructions in the word to be mindful of those that their conversations can be summarized as gain is godliness. Amen. Are you writing? You have a note? No. You do? Please write. That's where your benefit is. Okay? So, it says, from such withdraw. So, the Bible will leave such instructions because if you keep such conversations around you, it will get into you. Where you always tend to make conclusions, or let's say it this way, your faith conversations always, you know, result to gain materially. Your fellowship and relationship with God and His children is somewhat transactional. At the end of it all, what is in it for me? Okay? So he says, from such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So, do not get wrapped up in ideologies that make you think what you do for God ought to always translate to material gain. Remember this story I heard some time ago? One guy went for evangelism and then he cut a covenant with God. When you hear those things, be careful and run. Alright? He says, don't cut a covenant with God. There's no trouble. Trouble is around the corner. Okay? And went for evangelism and said to God, if I would win so number of souls for you, this is the kind of grade I want. The exams are coming. If I win, how many souls now? 20 souls. I'll get 95 of 100. Or maybe a 7 point. Or whatever point. Okay? So, in that mind, my service to God ought to translate to gain materially. You come to church and you're sweeping the floor, mopping it, cleaning the chairs. God, see me now. As I'm doing this, let my husband locate me. Amen. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So there is more gain where you are content materially yet committed to godly conduct. So rather than think that your gain is in material increase, that your spiritual service to the Lord is more gain than material gain. Does that make sense? So godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have heard, from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, when Paul says here that the love of money is the root of all evil, he uses two words together into one. Now, he is not saying that money should not be loved. So, some of us will look at this verse and say, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So, don't love money. In our, manner of speaking. Now, does someone that does not love money put this in a bag? Does someone that does not love money, when it's time to give an offering in church, look for which one is appropriate according to the proportion of the needs waiting outside? I mean, what you don't love, what do you do to it? You let it go, right? I don't like this. Why are you looking like this? I wanted to say something now, but it may be irritating. So, let me try. Don't be offended. Amen? How many of you love vomit? How many of you will vomit? Put it in your best cooler. Decorate it, put it on the dining table. Amen? And from the dining table to the fridge. Amen? To preserve it for as long as possible. I will do that. Amen? So, that it says the love of money is the root of all evil, it is for you to think about, not to assume that it says you should not love money as we think. How many of us don't love money? Go to Lagos. I don't care about anything. We're just strolling. In fact, I don't have to go to Lagos. Just marketplaces. How many of us don't love money? Buy a phone of 200,000 or more, and you put it in your back pocket, and you're strolling the market. Huh? Nobody. How many of us don't love money, but when it's nighttime and you're about to go to bed, you unlock the door and open it a bit. I mean, we brought nothing. We are going to carry nothing out. So, if anybody wants to come in, I mean, we are here to help the needy. So, the needy can come in, enter my kitchen, cook at 1:30 a.m. while I'm sleeping, you know, prepare noodles and take drinks from the refrigerator and enjoy himself and go. And then people come and, please, where's your khaki? I mean, we don't love money now. Don't you think so? That's not what it is saying. Alright? So it's not saying don't love money as we understand it. Now, love of money is one word in the original manuscript. So in the Greek, it uses the word philaguria. Philaguria, okay? Philaguria. Philaguria. Okay? It's a word derived from that Greek word for love, that is philia. Now, in certain instances, you find where in the epistles it said, wives, love your husband. And agape is not the word used. Rather, he uses filio, that is, be fond of. To be fond of. So the love of money is a coinage that speaks of a disposition not only to be fond of money, it also includes the motive. What makes a man to do wrong or do evil so that he can gain materially? That is the love of money. So, what moves a man because he is going to gain materially? To be willing to commit evil. Avarice. Is ready to do another person wrong to gain materially. Of course, the love of money is the root of all evil. Does that make sense? Hey, come on, are you here? Okay, so he's not saying money is the root of all evil. Neither is he saying liking or loving to have money is the root of all evil. It is to be willing to do wrong at the expense of others, or to be willing to do wrong to gain materially, or to be willing to gain materially at the expense of others. That is what is the root of all evil. That is what makes people to steal, right? That is what makes people to be ruthless in business, wicked. That is what makes a company to earn so much and pay the staff that do the work 7-5. Amen? I remember someone after NYC married, woman, went to look for a job, went to a private school, and then for the way the country is, started considering, so went there and then did negotiation and they agreed on 10,000 per month to teach students a whole month. And at the end of the month, get a 10,000 naira pay. I mean, right now, that is not up to $30 a whole month. Okay? Now, the worst part is coming. Amen? You will, on Monday, wear white shirt on black skirt. On Tuesday, blue shirt or so skirt. On Wednesday, pink. There's dress code every day of the week. Someone who went to a tertiary institution, went to serve, got federal allowance of 19,800. Then, finishes and comes to work to earn 10,000 a month. And is it not better to apply for errand girl? Yes? Just know what, just be sending me. I'm allowed. Buy this, buy that. Yes. And I know that there's no job. But to use my certificate to be wearing uniform and collecting 10,000. So, in such, of course, there are plenty scenarios that would paint where there's hardship. where those who have enough are oppressing those who don't have. Where the people in authority are not doing as much as they should or doing nothing at all. And then everybody, every opportunity they have to gain for themselves materially, they would, not minding what it will cost anybody. Someone will steal from another. Someone will forge figures that will cost another their job. They will not only gain, but another will lose. I mean, of course, when you gain in a dubious way, you didn't gain in a vacuum. When you gain, someone has lost. Even in regular market or trading, legitimate trading, that happens. Okay? So, the love of money is the root of all evil. What makes a man to be willing to do wrong to gain material? Of course, that is the root of all evil. So, we're instructed in the word to be mindful, not of material gain, but be mindful of doing wrong to gain material. So people lie in business to gain. I mean, someone said, in business, you need to tell small lies here and there to keep things going. You deliver goods to me, you called me, when am I going to pay? You say, I'll pay you tomorrow. Oh, no. In fact, you called at the right time. I'm sending it now. Don't worry, you see the alert. I hear you. Just stay off my back. Let me do till I'm satisfied. Then I'll consider you. Okay? So, those are the things that we can say are the root cause of all evil. When people at the expense of others' well-being want to gain for themselves. All right? In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in bands or into bands, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the leaves of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take note of saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen. Okay, so if you're going to serve God, you cannot do things like the man without God will do. You cannot, because of the legitimate needs that you have, begin to swindle people or do evil things, whether to others or to yourself, for material gain. Then Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, the lilies on the field. They don't even sow, but they are taken care of. How much more you? Now that is not saying you should not sow. Okay? But you cannot, because of your needs, thinking that you are abandoned to yourself, God cannot help or favor you, you then begin to think think of doing evil and what have you. No! In other words, what is this saying? There's priority in life. There's priority. The things of God first. This is not saying don't work, don't earn a living. No, this is not saying don't do anything, just trust God. The same way the birds of the air go around, I mean, you put stuff outside, they come to take of it. You should also be going about doing that. Mm-mm. All right? But rather, trust God to meet your needs. So no one can love money, according to 1 Timothy 6 and 10, and according to our explanation, and love God. In Luke 16, see the same thing. From verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful, okay, let's just, verse 11, Let's read from verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Of course, that parable of that unrighteous steward who began to wet the ground for himself when things began to happen. Okay? That when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least also is also in much. Sorry, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Okay? He uses agape here. You will hate one and be committed to the other. Or else, he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Does it make sense now? From 1 Timothy 6:10, serving mammon, the love of money, that's evil in itself. You cannot serve God and love money that way. It's impossible. You have to hold on to one and despise the other. Okay. In Psalms chapter 23, Exodus. From verse 7, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Okay? This is not saying don't collect gifts. Alright? Of course, this will be seen as a bribe. In Deuteronomy 16 and verse 9. Sorry, I think I mixed that up. Let's just go away from that. Proverbs 15 and 16. That should be 19. Deuteronomy 16 and 19. Just write that. Proverbs 15 and 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Okay? So, never put yourself in a position that because of your legitimate needs, you begin to do things that are wicked, evil. You begin to compromise your faith. You begin to compromise God's word. You begin to live according to the standards of men rather than follow the dictates of God's word. Don't take a gift that will not make you stand uprightly. That will not make you speak the truth. Don't take a gift that will put a skeleton in your cupboard. Okay? Don't, because of your legitimate needs, okay, choose to commit evil or do wrong. Don't. Rather, be content with what you have. So, from this point, what do we see? That materialism is for your eyes to be fixed on gain for yourself in all things. Hallelujah. Now, when you set up a business or you work to make money, to gain, can that be defined as materialism? No. You're offering value and you expect something in return. So making profit is not being materialistic. So there's always something wrong with materialism. Not just, that's why I said when we started, it is not against prosperity. It is prosperity at the expense of something or someone. To gain at all cost. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Sorry for that. What man shall do unto me? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, from verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith, to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all these things through Christ which strengtheneth me. To abase or to be abased and to abound. I can do this in all circumstances through Christ who strengtheneth me. So there's such a thing about contentment. Contentment is also not a value that embraces poverty. When you're lazy and less privileged, find out the issues. Don't say, I'm content. That is why. No. Contentment will be whatever state you are in, to be okay with it. Not okay in the sense of you don't want to gain materially in a legitimate way, but you will not, because of any need, do evil to gain. Hope you understand that. So, when we say contentment, it is not an excuse for poverty. It is not a way to explain hardship and how things are tough depending on where you are or where you are from. All right? But it is a good value to be content with such things as you have. The Word of God instructs to work. Okay? Ephesians 4. Before we get to Acts. And verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. You know, we can say, let him that loves money love money no more. Right? But rather, let him labor. Let him work. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. So he says, work so that you can have to bless others, to give to those that I need. Nobody loves money to give. Right? Come on, are you there? According to 1 Timothy 6 and 10 and the interpretation, nobody loves money to bless the needy. It is always to themselves. Okay, so Bible instructs that we work. In Acts chapter 20 and 35, Paul says something, but we read a few verses before. from verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, you are more fortunate when you commit of your resources to others who are in need or are weak than when people give to you. Now, this is not saying you shouldn't receive when it is given to you, but you are more fortunate when you give to others than when you receive from others. So Paul says, with his hands, or his hands have ministered unto the necessities and to them that were with him. Paul worked. In Acts chapter 17. Beg your pardon, 18. 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And this Paul came to Aquila and Priscilla. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. In Acts chapter 15, you see, when certain Jews took Barnabas and Paul to Jerusalem to contend on certain issues, that Gentiles cannot just be declared saved by only believing, and they ought to be circumcised and a host of other things. Now, in the letter of the apostles to the saints at Antioch, they were instructed, okay? If you read from verse 29, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, for which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Farewell. So, okay, not here. In Galatians, beg your pardon. You'll find that there. In Galatians chapter 2, where Paul went to those who seemed to be pillars, James, Cephas, and John, okay, they perceived the grace of God given to him and gave himself and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and 11, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Hallelujah. Okay, so the Word of God instructs to work to be able to meet your needs personally and to help those who are in need. So in this, there is nothing wrong in wanting to earn more so that you can be more comfortable and help others more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he stingily. And he which soweth bountifully, generously, shall reap also generously. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He was discussing giving, and then he says, all grace, the Amplifier will say, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that okay, more giving. Every good work is to give more, or is to give. Are you there? In Leviticus chapter 19, Just run through a few things. Before that, in Genesis, we see how God put Adam on the earth to till the ground and yield of the earth's increase. In this earth, God has provided for man that as you work, you are not walking aimlessly. There are things to do. There are values to bring to others so that you can be paid for it. So when you offer value, value will come to you. Monetary. Okay? In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 25, and in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. In Psalms chapter 67 and verse 6, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Of course, he was predominantly farming there then. This has to do with things that man can do on the earth and he will receive increase. For a work like farming, a man will put plant farming or crop farming. A man will put seeds into the ground and will water and nurture it till it produces fruit. Okay? It will yield increase to him, then he will have what to offer. He would have value or substance to be able to receive value. Leviticus 26 verse 4, the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. In the same chapter, verse 20, you see the same. In Nehemiah 9 and 37, in Psalms 85, verse 12, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield our increase. In Psalm 107, verse 37, and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. Ezekiel 34 and 27, cause the earth yielding our increase. So it's legitimate to work and gain. Contentment is not, okay, the job I was able to get is the one that pays 6,225 naira. I'll be content. No! Work on yourself. Recognize where you can, you know, put out more value so that you can get more money. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? There's nothing wrong in thinking about how to set up a business or put up an establishment that will bring you money. Amen? Good money. And there's nothing wrong in desiring the good things of life. I mean, how can you at this point, you are hoping to buy a bicycle? Because maybe, probably, you started off in the village and that was maybe what your father had and you're thinking like that. There's nothing wrong in desiring good things of life. Amen? live in a good estate. Not where, as they are saying, Allahu Akbar from here, and say fire. And as they smell from here, there's real fire from that place. Okay? Drive a good car. Amen. There's nothing wrong. Live well, be comfortable. And when you want to eat, you are not trusting God. Don't go to the kitchen and say, I was here. I have some gari, then I have palm oil, then what else? I have dry pepper, then pia. You perform magic and you make something. Okay? But you eat what you want to eat when you want to eat it. God wants that for you. Okay, so there's nothing wrong in that. There's nothing working hard and desiring that you live in a good house, drive a comfortable car. A car that, you know, when you're inside, you're shut out from the world. You can fellowship with God. Amen. Very well. Not the one that, as it's using fuel, is also using your blood to move. Not the one that becomes a fumigator. As you are going, just killing everything around. No. God wants you well. Okay? So it's not evil or you're desiring too much when you're looking forward to buying a 2020 model car. Don't say, eh? 20? No. I can manage anything. Mm-mm. Okay? But the warning is against trying to gain at the expense of Bible instructions, at the expense of others, at the expense of the laws of the land, and what have you. So do not think that materialism is what says to you, be lazy. Just be there. Whatever comes to you, that is what God wants you to have. There's nothing like that. Okay? So you can work hard and make good money. Be comfortable for yourself and help others as well. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we see a story. I will not be able to read through, of a man called Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. Okay? So he came to Elisha. To be healed. Now, let's see something. A little briefly. Now, from verse 8. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Hallelujah. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpa rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Okay? And the servants came there and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying, and the according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant to move burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship, there, and he leaned on my hand, and I bowed myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bowed down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master had spared Naaman, this Syrian, is not in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariots to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, behold, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And the man said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants. And he beared them, and they beared them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. Of course, the story. And Naaman came to the prophet Elisha, told him to go wash in River Jordan. He felt insulted. His servants told him to go. Avon got healed. He came back to appreciate the prophet, but he refused. And then the servant of the prophet went behind him to receive of the gifts. And then he came back to life. Okay? So, this is a story that you can see love of money. Correct? Okay? It will make you to do something. There's nothing wrong in material gain. But when you are willing to do wrong, to commit evil, to get that gain, that is a problem. And every time you are willing to do that, you can't follow the dictates of God. You won't be able to follow God's instruction. You won't be able to do what God wants you to do in that situation. All right? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's do verse 18 first. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 18. What is my reward then? Paul was saying something. We'll read it hopefully before we close. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Okay? So Paul was discussing something. Now, let's go to verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? So please note verse 18. Paul wants to preach the gospel without charge. In other words, he does not want to be found in a situation where his preaching the gospel looks as though it's transactional. When I preach, it is to gain materially. But rather, the gospel be preached without charge. I will never demand for any material thing at the expense of the gospel. So see what he says from the beginning so that we can view things from proper perspective. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? And not he my work in the Lord? If I be an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister or wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? I hope you understand what he's saying here. We have right to have legitimate needs. Amen? Oh, come on, are you there? We have right to have legitimate needs. A family that we need to, that we ought to take care of, that we are responsible for financially. Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear walking? Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? In other words, think about a soldier. He wants to protect a nation with the army, or look at the army as a whole. They ought to protect the nation, defend the nation, ward off enemies, and they need ammunition and what have you. They will now go and work, raise money to buy what they need before they defend the nation. Who does that? Does it make sense? No. Nobody does that. Okay? Where are we? Verse 7. Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or said he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so, hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that I should be so done unto me. Sorry, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Should a preacher of the gospel live off the gospel? Yes. Are you there? But the preacher of the gospel cannot preach the gospel with charge. He cannot make demands He cannot say, I preached for 10 hours. Your money is 10 million. Before I come, credit my account with 5 million so that I know you are serious. When I show up, as soon as I'm done, as soon as I drop the mic, bam, once I take my phone, I want to see the alarm. Boom. Okay? That is a preacher, okay, who is selling the gospel. Who begins to see his ministry duty as a value he's offering and needs to be paid back. Now, does the word of God instruct that those who are blessed by preachers should bless them materially? Yes. Should the preacher make demands that I'm a preacher of the gospel, therefore you must give to me? No. The preacher's duty is to preach the gospel without charge. The duty of the saints is to minister to the needs of those who minister to them spiritually. Not to pray for them. You know that thing? Stretch forth your hands. I see some people, the way they will stretch their hands like this. Lord, fill you back. Lord, replenish you. No. You give to him materially. So from this, what do we see? The gospel is not for sale. So if the gospel is not for sale, the goal of the gospel in our lives is not for material gain. Again, God is not against material prosperity. But if the conclusions of your faith walk is material gain, then you are doing something wrong. Many believers today don't want to be in churches where sound doctrine is upheld, where proper Bible interpretation is done, where the regular saints or the regular services are Bible schools, where you are learning the meaning of words, learning the etymology of words, learning all stuff to understand Bible doctrine. And say, how is this applicable to me at my workplace tomorrow morning? In other words, the saints gathering is for gain. What will the pastor say to me that tomorrow I will gain materially? So it's not okay when you are in church and you receive knowledge and it helps you to grow spiritually and you are inspired to do evangelism and discipleship. You are inspired to pray. You are inspired to serve God, serve others. You are inspired to be a blessing. That's not enough. That's one side. What about my legitimate needs? Again, that is materialism. That's love of money. When you begin to think that God ought to pay you back for the service you render in the gospel of his son. Paul says, my reward is that I'm able to preach the gospel without charge. So I'm walking and preaching. So like the scenario I painted the other time, you now see a soldier who is supposed to be funded and his work is to use whatever is provided to heavily defend It's territory. Now imagine a soldier who has a business, who is working. When he makes that money, he uses it to buy ammunition, and then he uses it to defend. That is how the gospel ought to be preached. Hallelujah. That ought to be the mindset of the preacher. Now, the saints shouldn't say, "Hello, preacher, the word of God says you should preach without charge." No, obey your instruction. All right? You commit materially to he that preacheth, and the preacher should know his role as well. Not to make demands. I mean, you see all kinds of things. You go to an assembly of very young people, and you say, the Lord is saying, if you can sow 10,000 now, there's an anointing here to pass exams. You're a businessman. Your products are the power of God, the anointing. Amen. The gospel. You sell. So, wherever the Bible doesn't say we should expect material gain, when we do so, we are entrapped in materialism. Some people today even think that spiritual growth is when things are getting better for you materially. So I left that church. Why? I was not growing there. My life was just, I didn't have money, Grow. But since I moved to this church, the anointing on our Father in the Lord has skyrocketed and blown and bumped my business. Now I have blown. And such lights. In to be beware of materialism is not to assume that because we have ambitions, needs, things we want to achieve in life, to take the gospel as what will help us to achieve such goals. That is why some will assume or think that Christianity is merely a coping mechanism. That is, you have faith in God just to cope in life or through life. So another person looks at you and says, this is all there is to your Christian faith. I don't want it. I'm okay. No. Christianity is not a coping mechanism. It's not what we use to cope in bad governance. No. Christianity is faith in Christ to be saved eternally and to save others eternally. Thereby, spiritual growth. Is expected. Or we can put it together. To be saved eternally and to grow spiritually. And then to do ministry, that is to save others and to grow others. So this thing is very subtle. When you just look at yourself and you say, I've been serving. I'm the one that cuts all the grass in church. I've been doing it for 7 years. Look at my life. I don't have anything. God, where are you? You have been captured. Are you there? So materialism is not until you bring bottles to church and you label one, Holy Spirit, and you say, come and buy. Or you buy loads of handkerchief, you print blood on it, and you pray over it, and you say, come and buy. Handkerchief of, how much they say, 50 naira? Or let's say 100 naira. Handkerchief of 100 naira, you say 10,000. I have put the blood and the power of God on it. Let him that stole steal no more. But work, labor. Ah, that's easy now. What can I use now? My notebook. Tear each page. Put my hand on it. Nothing shall afflict you anywhere you go with this. Oh, please buy. I want to sell 10,000. 100,000. If you don't have, get out. No. I'll lock the door. You must buy. If you don't have deposit, and tell me how you pay the balance. Hallelujah. So beware of materialism. Where you just, as a preacher, beware of it. Where you think that what you have to offer is a better life. You feel ashamed to tell someone that you will receive forgiveness of sin. And you are saved eternally. And you begin to grow to be responsible in the service of God. If you are ashamed to say that, you spice it. You add curry, thyme, Cameroon pepper, and everything. Say, your life will be better. God will He will make you prosperous. You don't know what will happen. Your business will just start booming. To be booming. It's not true. Alright, so beware of it. Personally, beware of it. Whereas you are serving God, you are, if there's no reward, you will stop. If there's no reward, you wonder why you are doing so much. That's materialism. Okay? So, the best way we can put it now is that love of money that Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 6 and 10. What makes you to want to twist anything for gain? Look at Bible text, you twist it. You're serving the Lord, you are serving so that things can be better for you materially. There's a way for things to be better materially. Amen? So you get yourself busy with that. Now, are we also saying that leave your finances to chances? God doesn't care about anything. God wants you well, like we said. God wants to help you out with your finances. Many times, materialism closes your eyes to the how. And makes you assume anyhow. God will bless me materially. So there are some things that people have embraced that are evil. I mean, how can someone say, miracle money, when God brings money to you miraculously, it just appears, pop, in your Bible, in your pocket, in your account, and all of that. And then someone now trying to explain that now says that God will send angels to rescue money from accident sins, unfortunate circumstances, money that people lost. God will send angels to rescue them and he will give it to you. So your God will leave people to die. He will go after the money because you need it. You're a crook. Don't you think so? I mean, look at such reasoning. Trying to say something. High-sounding nonsense. So you will see men that he died for. You allow them to die. He will take their money and bring it to you. The love of money is the root of all evil. So beware of it. Now this sounds funny to you. By the time you check yourself, you will see the way you to reason in some other areas. I want to leave that church. Why? My academics is going down. Abi? Or is until money? Uh-huh. My grades are going. And many of such people now leave, go to a place where they won't serve the Lord anymore. Okay? There's what to do. If you have issues academically, the first thing is to read. Or maybe even before reading, find out what you have been doing wrong. Find out how well you assimilate things. Meet the people that know book. Okay? So that you can be helped and all of that. There are ways to get things done on the earth. Okay? Let's not begin to abstractly take our Christian faith for material gain. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so I think I'll just stop there. Many people have left the doctrine of Christ because of this materialism we speak about. Many people twist the words of the scripture, twist the words of the apostles because of this materialism. Many Christians now belittle prayer, evangelism, discipleship, learning Bible truth, the practice of the things of the Spirit, serving one another in love, not expecting anything. I mean, it's now terrible. Saints can't relate with themselves wholeheartedly. Once this sister is coming close, it's money. Well, this brother is his money. Don't let your legitimate needs drive you to do wrong or commit evil. Be honorable. Be a man of integrity. Practice very vital yet simple things. If in church you are sent on an errand, take 5,000. You get there, your transport, everything you spent, 4,725 naira. Return the change. Let the authority say, don't worry, you can have it. When it comes to your parents, you can do whatever. Amen. Be honorable. In the office, sign out money for this trip, 20,000. If there's change, return it. Or you didn't go again, return it. I remember I did that at the workplace. My boss gave me money to go do something. And yeah, I think he gave me, I can't remember. We were supposed to deliver something. So I was supposed to follow the truck. I think it was a generator. Follow the truck, deliver it, ensure everything is intact. Then when done, take public transport, come back to the office. And by the time I was going to deliver, do everything, the truck was coming my way again. And came all the way close to the office that I didn't have to spend the money. And I got to the office and I said, take. I didn't use it. They first of all laughed at me. They, who is this one? Almost embarrassed me. Get out of here. Because I guess you know what they do. If we sign out 1 million and we don't need it again. So my boss had to tell me, no way. Keep it. And then, that's good. So be honorable. Okay? Be a man of integrity. In simple things. Be. It's good for your soul. Don't be a preacher that what you are all after is material gain. You know, there's a way, see what we read in 1 Corinthians 9. There's a way you can emphasize your right as a preacher of the gospel so much that materialism is the drive. Different preachers will have different tolerance. A preacher can say, I won't take certain things just to ensure that I'm saved. You have preachers who have written books, will sell them, and will not take one kobo from the money. That doesn't mean another preacher can't do that. Take royalty from his books and still ensure that materialism doesn't become an issue. While for some, you need to do that. See, Paul, he had that right, but his pride, his glory was to wave it. I will walk and minister to the needs and the necessities of those that are with me. Hallelujah. So beware of it. Okay? Don't let it change your thinking. serve the Lord, do ministry, and make money. Don't see ministry as a reward system to gain material. No, it's not. It's service. When Jesus died, he died for us to have life. Not for him to become more Jesus. Or for him to be proud today. I was one before, now I'm plenty. It's to the glory of God the Father. The same mind must be in us. When it's time to serve, we serve. Where you're not to expect material gain. Don't expect it. Don't allow materialism influence your theology. Where you begin to doubt who God is and his faithfulness because you're not gaining material. Don't allow it. And one thing that helps us with is to practice giving. Practice it. Give to people. Give to people that I need. It won't reduce you. You can afford to help this person. Take care of the need. That way it will get you off that idea of I just have to take everything for myself. Take everything for myself. Hallelujah. And at times too, I miss the saints. Stop trying to seek material gain. I have a business. Now put it on everybody's face. Somebody doesn't want to patronize you and you start keeping malice. You know there's trouble. In that church. You know I run a hospital, they don't come when they're sick. Is your purpose in the assembly for material gain? No. For spiritual development, fellowship with the saints. Hallelujah. Hope you learned something. Put your hands and thank God.